Buffalo can hang on. This is going to be a good one.
The fans at Kansas Speedway know how to have a good time. And you are all invited. NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway, May 4th and 5th. Get your tickets now at kansasspeedway.com.
I just blew up Jake's email. I forgot to send you a couple of pics from last night, so I did. Including, we now have a picture of Gary Lezak signing a baseball. So, haven't you ever wanted to do that when you saw Gary? I wonder if I could get him to sign a baseball.
I'd like to get him to sign anything.
Right. No, he will. He signed a copy of It's a Sunny Life if you'd like him to.
I think I have an autographed copy of that book.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Good Friday morning to you, April 16th, 2021. Stephen St. John, Nate Bucati, and Jake Gutierrez. Royals be in first place. Royals win again. Break them up. Break up these Royals. They're too good. They're too good for the rest of baseball. 7-5 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Yeah. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good way to get an early start to the weekend. Watch the Royals take care of business against Toronto last night at Kauffman Stadium.
How about those Royals, huh?
And boy, if the if you're a somewhat of a regular listener to the Border Patrol here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, you know, we got some people that, I mean, listen to the majority of the show and then really understand some of the inside jokes, some of the terms that we use with regularity. And most importantly, I don't know what the hell's going on with Jake's hand right now. What's happened? You look like a boxer that might have broken his hand in the middle of the fight.
I smashed the hell out of it this morning.
What happened?
I cracked it on a door jamb walking out of my house. It stopped bleeding.
Explain how, I mean.
Let's see.
Right. Oh, look at that. So what were you, I mean, I don't, so you're walking.
I was putting my backpack over my shoulder.
Backpack. Here I go.
I'm leaving, and I hit the door frame.
Oh, full force, bam.
Yeah, and I was
unexpected.
I was running a little late, so I was in a hurry, and Riley was up, and I
see what happens. You're in a hurry. You see that?
Yeah.
You see
bloody nap.
And then what happened was, did you scream?
I bit my lip, and I muttered some obscenities.
Did Riley? Did she hear? Did she?
Nope,
did she come running?
Goodbye,
she,
and I left.
Nothing. She has no idea that you smashed her.
I didn't realize how bad it was until I got in my car and it was bleeding all over.
You need x-rays? Is there a chance it's broken? No, it's not that.
I think it's
superficial.
No, it's
not. Did you post any of that on Instagram?
No.
Like, you know, cussing about it?
Not yet.
Or anything? I think you should.
I can.
What's your pain?
That's none of my business.
So, 1 to 10 pain level right now.
Oh, it's like a 3. I mean, it's more.
But enough to, it's a nuisance, isn't it?
The nuisance is more, it's more annoying. The pain was just in the moment. Like, it doesn't hurt right now.
You just want the bleeding to stop.
Yeah.
It's a little messy back there. Trying to run the board. Trying to do your job.
You got a bleeder.
Hey. You ain't got time to bleed.
That's right.
What movie is that from? I'm not gonna tell either one of you.
I feel like Roadhouse, but that's not right. Because that's Pain Don't Hurt.
You know what? Maybe it's not from any movie. Maybe I just made it up. Or maybe it is from a movie.
I've heard that. Well, I know I've heard it in a movie.
You'll have to look it up later. Because I'm not going to tell either one of you. Till the end of the show. What? You look like you're in significant pain. This is bothering you.
No. I'm trying to think of. I know I've heard that clip. We ain't got time to bleed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, give us one hint. Who's the actor?
No, I'm not going to tell you that.
Actor in the movie. The person that said it.
We'll revisit it. I want you to think about it first before any. It hasn't been long enough to give any clues. And like I said, maybe I just made it up. I don't know. Maybe I'm having fun with you. Maybe I'm fooling you. Maybe I said it. Maybe Steve St. John Sr. said it on his way to Leavenworth. I don't know.
No, it's in a movie.
How many people? So there's a lot of people. I hope a lot, or at least a few. There's some. Do you think there's anyone that listens to all the show?
Some people.
I can't even get anyone in my family to listen to all the
show. I sit right here the whole time.
what type of excitement was there for anyone that listens to the show on a regular basis last night when Tanner Roark entered the game? They're like, oh honey, come here.
Yeah.
You know that saying that I picked up from the Border Patrol? Hey, there he is. That's Tanner Roark.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
Yeah, he really has.
Yep.
Hey, Roark's in the game. Yeah, he really is. So, I think that was a special moment for Border Patrol listeners. And
definitely was a very exciting moment.
Like, what did you think when he came in?
I said, I hope he gets his, what's lit.
Say it.
I don't think I'm supposed to.
Roark's been getting his tits lit.
He really has.
What are you supposed to do on this show?
Well,
who told you? I mean, what are these rules that you're throwing around?
Well,
now?
I think the Drake said we're not really supposed to say it, but I maybe I'm wrong.
Is Drake producing this show?
I don't remember having a conversation about that with Drake. Did he talk to you?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not positive.
You don't know though.
No, I don't know. But I think he said, I think I'm not supposed to say it, but I don't know.
He probably said it was frowned upon.
I've been told by many, many people here at Union Broadcasting, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission.
Good call.
That's the way I go about my business here.
Teat.
Right.
He did give up a couple runs yesterday.
They
weren't.
They weren't earned.
But still.
They
so
were
I don't know
earned.
If they were completely lit yesterday.
In my mind, they were. And the Royals won 7-5. How about them Royals, says Carl Peterson. And how about Jake Junis? Another solid outing, 5 innings, 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts.
How about those Royals, huh?
Keep it going. Guess what? Guess who gets another start, if you ask me? Jake Junis, right?
Yeah.
Can't take him out now. Let's just keep this thing going. Keep the line moving. Jake Junis. Now let's see next start if you can give us 6 innings. I don't know. There was a time when Jake Junis was looked upon as a promising young starting pitcher for the Royals. Then he was no longer considered that. He had a tough stretch out there. And so that's why going into the season, now think about it, before spring and before we really started to hear about the addition of his cutter to his arsenal, the rotation was pretty much set, and the fifth starter was Bubich. Nobody said, well, what about Junis? The whole storyline around Junis was, well, I wonder what kind of role he could serve in the bullpen. Is he going to be a long guy? Is he going to be a swing guy? Could he end up being a short inning guy? Who knows? What's he going to be, right? But then he looks terrific in the spring, and Bubich doesn't. And then there's real cause for optimism because Junis adds a new pitch. And so it's not just a guy putting up some empty spring numbers like Nate likes to say. There was something behind it. There was, as Jake likes to say, there was meat on that bone.
Mm.
That does sound good, doesn't it? Just the way I put that together, the way I said that. And so without Bubich pitching well, there was the door was cracked open and Junis and the cutter kicked it in. And so it was time.
Boob.
And when it was, boy, he's having the time of his life in there now.
Yeah,
he went from being in tremendous pain at the start of the show. Now he's looking for any drop.
Nimble fingers all
any
of a
drop
sudden.
That could possibly fit into this segment.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it's time for the Royals to use a fifth starter, Junis gets the opportunity and he's nails. And he comes through again. Great problem to have. And you never know, man, with starting pitching. We could be talking about, in a couple of weeks, somebody getting hurt. And, and then Bubich has to come up to replace that person or whatever. But the point is, this is a terrific turn of events for the Royals. Now you've got a situation where, I don't know, even when Bubich shows that he's ready, who are you going to take it right? Like, Duffy's been awesome. Junis has been terrific. Keller bounced back. Hey, Brady Singer ain't going nowhere, so watch your mouth back there, Jake, if you're even suggesting anything like that.
Why would I do that?
And Mike Minor, they paid him a significant amount of money to come in here and be a veteran in this rotation. And then you've got the young guns coming up. That's a good situation to be in. That's a wonderful situation to be in when it comes to starting pitching depth. And so, hey, if there's not an opening for Bubich, so be it. You got to wait your turn. There will be. It's pitching. That's what happens. The turnover is great. But for right now, Jake Junis in the spring and his first two starts, now the regular season, has done everything in the world that he could do to say that I'm a starting pitcher. I earned and I deserve one of these spots in the rotation. And good for him.
And what's Dayton Moore always said with pitching?
The currency of baseball.
Right. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but...
No, it's a currency. It's nothing but a good development.
Right. But, you know...
It means you got a lot of currency. Right. Maybe cryptocurrency, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But, you know, also if...
it's payday, and then you found a $100 bill on the ground and put it in. Yeah, that's another... It's a, you know?
Keep playing this way. Keep grinding it out. You get to the trade deadline.
Oh,
what?
This guy's getting locked in.
What?
He's already talking about trade deadline.
What?
Uh-oh.
He's already talking about adding.
It's good to have that currency in your pocket.
I'm not going to tell you not to think that way.
That's what's going through my
head. This is, look.
Hey, man.
This show's different. Show's different post-COVID, all right? I don't care what the date is. If the Royals are in first place, I don't want to hear, it's early. So what? I don't care. That's all they can do is be in first place on the day that we're living in. That's all they can do.
All we have is now, boys.
They can't go out there and win a game tonight and say, look, now we're in first place in September. No. All they can be is in first place on April 16th, and that's what they are. So, like, when I get up to come on the show, I got to talk about the first place Kansas City Royals. It's just fact.
It is fact.
Okay?
Hashtag real talk.
You can't do what you were doing to me the other day when you're trying to shoot the messenger, when I'm just giving you facts.
Well, those are stupid facts.
Well, they're still facts.
But they're stupid.
Okay.
That's an opinion.
Did Rick Neuheisel tell somebody he wanted the KU job?
I mean, supposedly,
it's a fact.
Yes. Well, as far as we know.
Corey Anderson, I'm going to go with fact on that one.
And then I tell you, trust that guy.
And then you start yelling at me, I'm not the guy that's making the news. I'm just telling you what it is.
Yeah, like,
all right,
you can tell me that I'm short, you know, and that's a fact, but I don't necessarily want to hear it all the time.
That's a fact, Jack. That's a fact. What's that movie for? Come on.
Brewster's Millions.
Toy.
Isn't that Stripes and they're all lined up?
Yeah.
That's a fact, Jack.
Ain't got time to bleed.
Hey, not only are they in first place.
Go ahead.
They're beating good teams. They're beating good teams. And that's pretty nice to see. And by the way, you haven't even brought up your guy, Scott Barlow.
The hair.
Well, like I said the other day when he struggled, I'm not going to go crazy over it. He's shown to be a valuable reliever. He led the league in appearances last year. He had a bad, and I felt really bad because after I had, again, I like to use this word, after I had thrust myself to the front of his yes. bandwagon as declaring him as the reliever that I had most confidence in, he promptly went out there and said, oh, yeah, three runs, less than an inning. How you like me now, dummy? And so, but I don't care. I like Barlow.
Hey, that was a big two innings last night.
And I don't
they
think
him.
We've seen the best of Barlow. Because you look at his, and he had a rough ending to the year that warped his numbers. But again, and you know, Matheny, if guess what? If you lead the league in appearances, I think the manager probably trusts you and likes you a lot. And so I just like him and his versatility, like last night. Two innings. Helps save the bullpen. And sometimes, you know what, when a guy takes care of business, and we've seen it before, it looks great, unhittable in the eighth inning, doesn't throw a lot of pitches, and the manager goes to a different guy, goes to a closer, because he's the closer, comes in cold or comes in, gives up the lead. And I like it, hey, when a guy's out there taking care of business, leave him in the damn game. And Barlow can give you two innings if you need it.
He did last night. Those big two innings.
You're damn right.
The Blue Jays were threatening that time. I mean, they looked like you could tell when the highlight that Jake played in the open, Hud was nervous.
Momentum was on their side. Yeah. They had scored four runs in the sixth and one in the seventh, and Barlow Came in the eighth and ninth and slammed the door shut in their face.
And the Royals hadn't scored since the fourth. They had gone quiet offensively. So, yeah, right. it was very important what he did last night.
He played the role last night of stopper. Right?
Yep.
All right, there's some people telling me in my ear that we can come back and listen to Scott Barlow after the game, after he gets... And yes,
I don't know why Jake won't tell you that.
I will tout that. Yeah, that was great. That made me feel good. Like,
I'm giving you credit, man.
That's why. I thought that my ample weight made the bandwagon crash, but it was able to carry me and keep going.
Yep.
You know, a little bump in the road, but you're right. Two innings, two hits, no runs, no walks, strikeout, two innings save, boom. And boom goes the dynamite. So, yes, I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. And also, a guy that I told you when it happened, I was very pleased by the signing. I thought it was an under the radar signing that didn't get enough credit. And I'm still surprised that this guy, this cat, had to settle for a minor league deal. Because I thought he's good enough and young enough where he could go. And hell, I thought he could be a starting second baseman somewhere. Hanser Alberto.
Big day.
2-for-3, 2 runs scored in a ribby. Kyle Isbell was scheduled to be in the lineup, late scratch. But they didn't find out about Toronto's starting pitcher until late, so maybe it was just a matchup thing. Alberto comes in, there you go. Right? That's what you got him for.
Mm-hmm.
You can put him in at second base, you can put him in third base, shortstop, whatever, and you can have the expectation that you're not going to have too much of a drop-off with the bat. Because the kid can hit especially lefties.
Well, and how about the fact that he was able to play third base so Whit Merrifield could stay at second, and they put Dozier in the outfield. Whit Merrifield gets to play his spot.
You want him on your bench? You want Alberto on your side? Which hand did you get hurt? Right hand.
Right.
I was going to say that would have been funny if it had been left. And I was like, what, you run into hands of Alberto because he matches lefties? But it didn't work out. That would have been a very...
Looks like Jake's your right-hand man, though.
That's right. Let's get some ice on that in the commercial break. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake is extremely disappointed in himself. We're going to do this one more time. I ain't got time to bleed.
Duh. I ain't got time to bleed.
Say it.
Predator.
Who said it?
Jesse Ventura, right. The body. I mean, his gun, the Gatling gun, is the best. I mean,
But that's you today. You said you had to go.
I ain't got
you didn't
time
have time
to
talk to Riley about it. You ain't got time to bleed.
Ain't got time to bleed.
Jake the Body Gutierrez is what that was.
Can I tell you guys something?
I don't want to hear this.
You do.
I'm so disappointed in this.
I'm disappointed in you that you ain't got time to bleed.
You know.
What?
I've never seen the
Predator. I know. I just want to puke when I hear that.
I've seen parts of it.
Now,
like,
look.
I saw that movie when I was 7.
Here's the deal.
15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, but I've never seen the whole thing start to finish.
I've probably seen that probably over 50 to 100 times.
And see, I was telling him that's like more rewatchable than Commando and some of the, like, Total Recall is still awesome. When Total Recall is on, I text
great.
You guys, like what's in I'm watching? I'm so
Commando
happy.
Commando was great,
yeah.
You know.
But there's something about Predator.
Let off some steam, Bennett.
You know, yeah, right. All the
But Predator is, that's like... I mean, I probably saw that 50 times before I was 10. I mean, that's like one of the VHSs that you just wore out.
Oh, yeah. I know a couple others that you
wore.
But those were just like the first 2 minutes of the VHS you wore
right.
out.
And you're like...
90 seconds.
And honestly...
Oh, that movie's so good.
For a 14-year-old me, the concept is presented to you, hey... There's a movie coming out with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse the Body Ventura, and Apollo Creed fighting aliens. Would you like to see it? Like,
please.
What do you mean by that? Apollo Creed?
Hawk. I loved Hawk.
No, that's Carl Weathers. No, he's Apollo Creed. That's how I refer to him forever. But yeah.
Apollo would have never lost his arm, though.
Right. Well, but that's I think it holds up.
But oh,
that,
yeah.
And I had no, like, that's my wheelhouse 14 years old when that came out, right? But I was telling Nate, of course I wanted to see it, but there's even if I didn't want to see it, I'm telling you, it was Clint Eastwood, Stallone, Schwarzenegger, early on Charles Bronson, and Steve McQueen. I remember going to see Bounty Hunter. when there, certain actors had a movie come, that was my dad's thing. On Friday, we're going. And that was it. And my mom's like, Steve, he's only 8, isn't it too violent? He's got to learn sometime. And like,
it's just a movie.
I don't know if it, like now's the time that he has to learn, you know. You know, why? You know,
it's a
and
movie.
By the way, like from those movies, what do you learn that if there's 20 bad guys shooting machine guns at you, they won't hit you, but you'll hit every guy with every shot you take.
Right, because of your training.
You have a good shot, yeah.
Because of your tremendous training.
That's what you learn.
Hard work
it's
pays
off. It's important to learn
and
that.
But also then that's some of my favorite memories with my dad going to see these movies. It reminds me of that and the lines. Like now he's going walking around quoting lines from.
See, it was a little different for me because my dad, for whatever reason, his entertainment form seemed to be to pick apart all of the unrealistic things in all of those movies. Oh, you know, things don't actually catch on fire like that when they get hit by a missile. That's total special.
What's unrealistic in Predator?
I don't know. I haven't seen it all the way through, so I can't tell you. But he would always tell me, too, like, anytime there was a Schwarzenegger. You know he's on steroids. There's guys don't just you know that's not natural. He's on steroids.
Count shots in a clip. He'd be like, oh, he's only got 2 shots left.
Yeah. Oh, Burt Reynolds also. Whenever he'd have a movie, we're there. You know,
he's already fired 6. He's only got 2 shots left.
Right. Oh yeah. Absolutely, dude. Yes, of course. Let's hear from Scott Barlow who got the save. And by the way, I didn't sleep very much. I kept getting asked last night. Yes, Phil's making his decision today.
Oh boy.
It's 7:05.
It's only a half an hour away.
I couldn't sleep.
Oh,
I've tried not to think about it at all, but now here it is. And he stayed gone last night. We got home from the wonderful charity event with the Mike Boddicker Foundation. We got home about 10 o'clock, and Phil's still not home. He's at his girlfriend Leah's house, and he was. I know what he was doing. He was trying to wait long enough for me to go to bed so I wouldn't talk to him when he came home, which is a great feeling. But, you know, I wasn't going to ask. I have not been asking. I've not been pestering him. I'm letting him make his decision, and then he can tell me when he tells me. And we decided this is the day because he turns 18 today. How about that? He's a man.
Incredible. What a day.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll let you know in about half an hour. No, it's going to be great either way. I'm teasing.
It's all good
Wherever
news.
Wherever he
no
goes,
what.
Wichita State, UMKC, I'm happy. Either one, because Jake has already said if he goes to Wichita State, Jake will be driving me every other weekend. So.
Well, I know that road very well.
You like that road? You get after it?
Sure. Flint Hills are beautiful.
Not a lot. Like just driving, there's, you know.
The Flint Hills are beautiful.
Right, it is beautiful. But
and there's a Brahms
Arizona.
On the way.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Right.
It's a lot of the same.
Let's, it gets some taking used to you. I'll get there if it happens. We'll see. You know, it's a good drive to UMKC, though.
That's true.
Right down 71.
Another beautiful drive.
Get off on Cleveland. Let's hear Scott Barlow, who has proven to be one hell of a reliever and also shown that I am the smartest baseball guy when it comes to bullpen in the entire world. In all of society. Let's hear from Scott Barlow.
Hey, Scott. Just how was that? How did you feel out there? Obviously, tough hitter to face in that last spot. Just walk us through that if you can.
Yeah. First one, you know, they were swinging pretty early. Seemed to get out of that one. Pretty quickly, and then second inning, you know, definitely still swinging pretty early. Got the first guy out, fly out, and then it was Kirk got ahead, and then didn't execute that last one. Left a little bit up, just over Witt's glove. Made a good effort, and then Simeon pretty early fastball away. I thought a good pitch. I still got to look back at it, but, you know, good hitter, you know, went down and got it. And then it was just a battle from there. Got Bichet to pop up and, you know, then got, Guerrero at the end, hit another battle there too. It was, definitely got the heart going, but that's always fun.
Hey, Scotty, I know you guys as a bullpen had a lot of this last year where you would pitch at different times and sort of got ready for that. But what's it like? I mean, for you guys right now, I think it's five different guys have saves out of seven wins. I mean, what's it like just being ready and having different guys step up at different times so far this season?
Yeah. You know, it's nice, you know, whenever the call down, you never know who's going to go. So every phone ring, you know, gets the heart going a little bit. But, you know, everybody's in the bullpen has been able to step up and, you know, pitch in any inning. And, you know, if, you know, guys are down, throw multiples the day before, you know, it's always nice to kind of go to anybody down there. So the camaraderie down there is really good. You know, we're all, you know, talking with each hitter about each hitter, you know, throughout, you know, the game, kind of just watching, paying attention. But, yeah, I mean, we're the guys down there are awesome. So it's been fun.
That was Scott Barlow after the game. He goes two innings, doesn't give up a run, and gets his first save of the season. And the Royals beat the Blue Jays 7-5. The Royals in first place, now 7-4 on the season. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Now, I'm not a sneakerhead, but I'm a shoe guy. And as Naked Tay, I was very giddy yesterday. I was showing him that I bought a couple of pairs of Cole Haans. They had a great online sale for Cole Haans. And I remember, they're delivered, Nate. And I ran home, and I'm an idiot. But I get excited about things like that. So I just want to mention, I don't know how you could do this with your camera work, Jake. We'll see how good you are. I like Stan Weber's shoes this morning. Those caught my eye. I'm a shoe guy.
Incredibly comfortable-looking shoes.
That's a damn fine-looking shoe right there. I like that.
Those are Cole Haans.
That's work or play right there is what that is. You know that, Jake?
That's the most comfortable dress shoe you'll probably put your foot in right there.
That's what I like. I bought a pair for ring announcing, getting in and out of the cage in the ring. I love them.
And they look good, too.
Well, says you. But I just wanted to mention I like Stan's shoes. So
I wish I would have known about the sale.
Yay! It was a good. It was like 60% off in a couple. I was like, "Hey, hold on here."
My wife always lets me know that like once a year they do a sale like that, or they used to at Nordstrom. I don't know if they still do since it's changing locations. But
this is all online.
You
could
get them at half price, like at once a year over there. And she'd always, you know, let me know about that because those Cole Haans are nice.
I wanted to mention Stan's shoes so we could get the segment started on the right foot.
Darn it! Yeah. I put up my left foot though.
That's right. Well. It's backwards on TV. Stan, I don't know if you looked at the standings, but the Royals are in first place at 7-4 right now.
I've not only looked at the standings, I've looked at the Royals live and in person. I was out at Kauffman Stadium.
Isn't that wonderful
for the
to
first
go out
time
there?
Since the 2019 season?
Which
right?
game did you go to?
I went to the first home game, the first night game of the year.
Oh, nice.
Wow. So that was Monday night or Tuesday? Monday night?
Yeah, that would have been Monday night, right?
Monday night. I was out there.
Yeah, when I went out there, and it had been a year, and just being out there and seeing everything. I mean, it's beautiful anyway. It doesn't matter if it'd been 24 hours since you've been out to Kauffman Stadium. It's beautiful. But just, you know how it is on opening day, and everything is just immaculate. And that's one of the things that's, you know, different now, and at least hopefully I'm going to carry this with me moving forward. It's the appreciation for things like that, just the appreciation for walking into the ballpark and looking like, oh, look how beautiful this is, and being able to be at the game. I'm glad you went out there and had a great time because it was so much fun. And just to watch this team now and how good they are to start off the season, 7-4.
I said last week that I'm a big Salvi guy.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Alex Gordon, my son Stanton, loves baseball more than any of my buddies and a group of people that we talk to, hang around. Stanton truly loves baseball from playing in high school all the way through. So it's a very pure love, an old school love maybe that you guys have as well. But a lot of modern kids aren't into baseball like that. He really loves the game, and he loved Alex Gordon for a long, long time before he hit it big and we went to the World Series and all of that. So, like I said, it was a lot of fun for most of my buddies were like, no, Salvador Perez, not Alex Gordon. So I think, like football, which is what I know more about, when you got a good quarterback in the huddle, he makes the other 10 players play better. That's part of why you look good as a quarterback. It's not just you and your talent, not to take away anything from Patrick Mahomes, but it's just making everyone else that much more inspired. And I think it's even more important in baseball, knowing Mike McFarlane, for instance, and some guys, not a ton of baseball guys, but to me, the catcher is even more influential on how his pitching staff works and a quarterback is on the rest of the team. Because calling the right pitches, keeping him steady, working through things is just incredible. And I think having Salvador Perez available makes every pitch for the Royals a better pitch. And so I'm high on that. And I've been a Dayton Moore guy, I mean, from when everyone wanted him fired before anyone thought about 2014. I said many times on his station when asked, and I don't get asked a lot about baseball, but I believe in Dayton Moore big time.
You know, Jake's high on a lot of things, not just Dayton Moore, so he can identify with that. Jake has encouraged me to seek out a tweet of the day. And so I've done that, Jake, for you. Do you have a favorite sounder or something to alert us that it is the tweet of the day?
I'll find something in here. Tweet of the day?
Right. I'm watching...
Or this one?
The post-game coverage. I'm reading tweets. People very happy about the game. And then I spotted the tweet. It was tweet of the night, really. And I'm very happy to say it's... delivered by Curtis Seabolt, who, let me tell you, man, you know Curtis. You've known Curtis Seabolt longer than us.
Yep.
The Curtis you get in person,
Curtis Seabolt,
is a sweetheart. He's a big teddy bear.
He's one of the nicest humans I've ever met. Doesn't have a mean bone in his body.
What about Curtis on Twitter?
Well, he's a little more, so it's like, they say that when it comes to having kids, the first one's all sugar and the second one's all spice.
Oh.
Curtis is like, in person, all sugar, and on Twitter, he's all spice.
He's very spicy. And I like this because you know that the 2014 World Series still bothers me, even though they won the next year. And so, you know, Curtis Seabolt, 9 hours ago. Play one more sounder, and we'll lead right into it. Here is Curtis at K. Seabolt, 9 hours ago, tweets, "For the record, Joe Panic can still bite my ass."
Oh. Curtis Seabolt.
So we get a round of applause there from... the studio audience, Curtis Seabolt, not looking for
the record. He wants it on the record.
So staying even, Curtis, even though he's very happy about these wins, he's still got a little salt left from the 14 World Series. And I can't blame him, but I just wanted to make sure that the people on
just
TV
send the runner home and win the game right there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Damn it.
We had this conversation.
Yeah, we're on TV, right? Can you see this?
You don't want to do this, do you? I can do that
at third base. Like, keep running, dude.
Him make the play.
I'd run. I would
have. How many
right
times have you
fine.
Seen this week? Unable to make the easiest of plays.
Was that the game you were at? Was that the game you were at where the pitcher threw it in the bounced?
Well, I saw Little League baseball by the Royals in the day I went. The errors were the only reason.
Yeah, that was
reason.
A bad game. Yeah,
yeah. You got a gunning the guy down at third. Instead, turns into a missed. Third baseman doesn't catch it, so they score one run. Only because the pitcher can't throw it to home. Yep. And they score two runs.
Yep.
And, no, it was just a comedy of errors. Mm-hmm. The Royals had one good inning where they scored three runs. And instead of being tied 3-3, they were down 4-3 because they'd basically given up all four runs. So, that's in baseball, one game doesn't matter that much. We had a great time, but it was the worst fielding. But yeah. I just, all week long, how many times have you seen where guys are on the run and they should be out, and there's the catcher dropping the ball spinning away from them, and really, how did they miss it? Sometimes it's like, how did they miss the ball?
So Curtis Seabolt receives a Border Patrol t-shirt for authoring the tweet of the night.
Congrats, he probably doesn't have any of those.
Congrats to K-Dog out there. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Explaining to Stan Weber some of the dynamics behind the Border Patrol. And look who's here.
Something just happened that I'm stunned by. Considering what a community our show is and a community Kansas City is, Stan Weber and Mike Boddicker just met for the
Are
first
you kidding
time.
Me?
Come in here. I would have
do it on the air. Come in here and meet him on the air so people can see this special moment.
Stan introduced himself, and I because we were all talking, and I thought, oh, Mike, I would have introduced you if I had any idea. I just would have assumed that you guys would have, you know.
Well, I have a lot of people tell me that they love listening and they think they know us very well by listening. And I would be that listener saying, I feel like I know Mike Boddicker well. His daughter taught at the school my kids went to in grade school. So it felt like there's a connectivity. Mike McFarland's kids went to school with my kids. So I feel like I know a little bit more about baseball. But no, I've never met Mike. He's awesome as a guest that you guys have. And I thought there was going to be a big party that Jake was going to put together so we could meet everybody.
Well, but that, you know.
I am. It's happening.
Here's the deal.
It is happening.
Stan, maybe damn if it. You put pressure on him,
Stan
thank
gets
you.
A gold star for the day.
Because guess
Stan
what?
Stan gets is the guest
he ain't
of the day.
Listening to me and Nate about it.
I'm just another listener who listens to Mike Boddicker.
You
talk logic. I mean, it's not all this new political correctness. Just tell me the truth.
Oh, man.
Just lay it out there. And Jake, I think, you're the same guy. And he said that there's going to get we're going to get together. I didn't say when. It could
you
be 2020.
Stepping on toes. You got to put pressure on him.
You just said earlier that a quarterback makes the people around them better, and part of that's by holding them accountable to a standard. And you just lit a fire under that young man over there, and that is the greatest thing.
I don't need any more fire.
How about
we'll
this?
See.
This guy damn near broke his hand trying to put his backpack on this morning. That's what he said. The Boddicker Foundation through last night's bourbon raffle. How about this? To Children's Mercy, this is a giant check. I sent it to you, too, but look, just you can see the giant check anyway. $81,775.
Wow.
How about that?
And this is the first annual?
Yes.
Can I ask you a
great
question?
Job, Mike. And great job to everyone. It's such a great idea. When I heard it on the air,
how about
and
that?
I went to the office, by the time I walked in, people in the office were talking about it and calling their buddies saying, hey, this is a great thing. Let's put our... Let's go buy some raffle.
Did you pick through my name a few times and discard it?
No.
Because
I hope you did.
Because I've had several friends and family members for whom I bought tickets that are livid that they didn't win anything. They're mad at me.
Apparently, a lot of people bought tickets.
Right.
Well, if it was $81,000 worth of tickets, then there were a lot of tickets.
You got
being
a guy like there's two people now. That I want to do business with. One of them is C. McDaniel from this damn Royals auction. He's buying everything. I just want to have lunch. I just want to pick his brain.
Yeah.
The other guy, you got a guy that won a few times that bought a lot of tickets, Jonathan Yen. Me and you need to sit down.
Jonathan Yen's got all the bourbon. Huh?
Jonathan Yen is he's a power player.
He bought a couple tickets.
He's a power broker.
Got a lot of yen.
That's right. Give the microphone real quick to Mike Boddicker. Mike, if you want to say anything to all the people, because a lot of listeners bought tickets for the raffle, including Jonathan Yen. How about that?
16,000 tickets. We had $81,700. The people were... I said it the other day, this city's unbelievable. I mean, if I could have picked a place when I came, I mean, my free agency, it was the best thing I ever did is moving here, living here. Great city, great people, and they help each other. They stick up for... I have a soft spot for kids, sick kids. And when we started this foundation, it basically was... Yeah, my kids knew where it was going to go. It was going to go to Children's Mercy whatever we raised. And we weren't expecting any of this. I mean, we were hoping... You know, if we could have got $10,000, $15,000, I'd have been happy as a lark.
$80,000.
It just blew up here in the city, and the people were great. And I can't thank them enough. I can't, and you and Gary and my family and the people who worked on this. Every dime goes to Children's Mercy. Anything over that, we're going to cover. So every dime we raise goes to Children's Mercy.
And look. And by the same token, hey, a guy like Mike Boddicker lives here after his playing career, doesn't have to put his name to something like this and the foundation to raise money for Children's Mercy Hospital, and that's for everybody in the community and really around our country that come and take advantage of the wonderful services from Children's Mercy Hospital. Over $80,000 from the Boddicker Family Foundation. That is awesome. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Welcome back to the show. I'm just a fly on the wall listening to Stan Weber and Mike Boddicker talk.
Isn't it awesome?
Stan Weber just found out that Mike Boddicker is in the choir at Holy Spirit.
An awesome choir. Not just good, awesome.
Well, you should hear the duet that he's done with his daughter that we have recorded.
The show continues right now on 810.